And we are back in the Santa Fe Baking Company, the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, and I'd like to welcome Denise McCluggage. She is a race car driver, I suppose we would say former race car driver, journalist, author, photographer. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Oh boy, I have reason to be tired, don't I?
Well, you've had an amazing career, and we're here partly to talk about the Santa Fe Concorso, which is an event happening in Santa Fe this coming weekend, and we're actually going to be giving away 3 pairs of tickets during this last 20 minutes of the program, and only during this last 20 minutes of the program, if you make a contribution of $100 to KSFR 4281393. What is the Concorso?
Well, Concorso is the Spanish and or Italian word for concours, which is a French word for, I guess, beauty show for cars.
A beauty show for cars. I love it. And so you're going to be showing all kinds of cars. Are these cars specifically New Mexico-based in some way?
No, some of them are. Many are. There are a number from some really well-known collections across the country, including Ralph Lauren, who, of course, everyone knows is a fashion designer. But he carries that taste and impeccability into his car collection. He has one of the most outstanding car collections in the world, and he is sending one of his cars.
Now, when you have a car collection, is it like having an art collection where, I mean, some people collect early 20th century modernism and so on?
Well, it can be. The major difference is you don't hang them on the wall, and cars need attention and care. And they have to be exercised. They're more like animals than they are like paintings. But
Do they specialize in certain times and certain kinds?
They can.
Of
cars? There are different eras in the collection. Some are more popular at certain times than at others. Right now, we're just coming kind of out of a muscle car sort of phase people have, because it seems to me it's always what was the in car when you were in high school. And then as people age and get more money, and then they go tracking down what was the hip car for when they were young.
Because why? That was the formative time in their life?
Yes, and that's what was the key to popularity and nirvana, you know. And,
right.
And so they... Now I have the money to enter Nirvana, so they look for that car that they didn't have, but the most popular guy in high school had or something. But there are even some old, what they call brass cars, which are the old, very upright, huge, big things with brass headlights and brass trim and all of that from the teen years and the... early on, very early, because, you know, cars are only a little over 100 years old.
Right.
And that's why now car shows are just blossoming everywhere, and they're all different degrees. If you drive across the country on a Sunday afternoon in the summer particularly, every damn small town has a little bug in the main street is blocked with shiny, shiny cars that are parked along the side, and they can be anything from, hot rods, or I've seen restored taxi cabs in one town that was specialized in. It was great. It was it's things you happen on. This is a little different than that. This is a little more upscale, and it's not free. The tickets are $45 general admission, and however, the site of this particular show, it's up in a horse ranch called La Mesita, which is just up north of Buffalo Thunder, the resort on the Pewaukee Pueblo.
Right.
And it's a lovely, beautiful place, wonderful old buildings, and the horses and are still there. I mean, they are there again. And so they're part of the show, indeed. So they're multi-horsepower, and then the horses peering out of their...
Two different kinds of horsepower.
Yes, indeed. And we're going to have a riding or a dressage or jumping or whatever, and a young woman will be doing that in the afternoon in the arena, just to have something else somebody can look at. Actually, it's sort of part of one of the themes we are having, which is then and now. We have some cars from, for instance, a Rolls-Royce Silver Ghost from the 20s, and now we have a 2011 Rolls-Royce Ghost, brand new and very rare still. And I had to promise everything to get that car here. Actually, it was great. They were showing it to the press out at the Pebble Beach area. And I said, we need one of those in Santa Fe on Sunday, September, whichever it is, 26, I hope. And they said, oh, no, there are none available. And I said, well, what about these? Where do these go? They have to go somewhere. Well, they were going back to New Jersey. And then I said, Santa Fe's on the way.
Yes.
So I finally talked to the right person, and so we got a 2011 Ghost. And we have a 1950s Mercedes Gullwing and a brand new AMG Gullwing Mercedes. So that's part of the then and now. There are a number of other cars. But our star guest is Sir Stirling Moss, who
yes.
is known as one of the greatest racing car drivers ever. But he got his start as an equestrian as a child. He and his sister showed horses in England. And so I thought, great, you know, we'll have equestrians to begin with here.
428-1393 is the number, 428-1393. And we've got a couple of thank yous.
Yes, actually, someone had called, I think that was Anonima, and she wanted to really thank you for your interview with Stuart Ashman. I thought that was great. And Charlie Romney Brown of Women's Voices has called once again. They're a big supporter of you, Mary Charlotte. Think you're absolutely wonderful.
Thank you so much, Charlie Romney Brown. And thank you all for calling. And tickets to the Santa Fe Concorso. You know, each ticket is worth $45. And so if you make a gift of $100 to KSFR, you'll get a pair of tickets for virtually the price that you would be paying anyway. So we've got three and only three pairs of tickets. So please call now, 428-1393, 428-1393. Denise McCluggage, that was interesting what you just said a moment ago. Is there some continuity between riding horses and driving cars?
Yeah, oddly enough, anything that requires a sense of balance and a sense of spatial relationships relates to driving. Skiing and sailing are two things that very much have carryovers. Weight transfer, all of this kind of thing. And after all, what is dressage but very, very subtle weight transfer on the horse? And that being able to sense those differences and similarities would be very important in driving as well as in horsemanship.
I haven't thought all that much in my life about race car driving because it hasn't been a sport that I've followed, but is it... I mean, in what way is it an athletic sport in some way? I mean, do you have to be an athlete to be a driver?
Well, yes, really. It's particularly now, so many G-forces are operating in the very fast cars. And you need a physical training to resist the G's to be able to cope with them without blacking out, which would be unfortunate at speed.
Indeed.
And people now... work out a lot more and have, you know, nutritionists and trainers, and just like any other sport, much more so than they used to. It was when I was driving, nobody paid an awful lot of attention to that. You just went with your native abilities, more or less. But and we didn't take care of ourselves. I didn't wear earplugs, for instance, and so anywhere between 4,500, 8,000 revs, I don't hear much anymore because I didn't wear these earplugs with all the racing engines. Now people are much more careful, one hopes.
Now, how did you start? I mean, as a woman, it was unusual, and to some extent still is, for a woman to be a race car driver. How did you get into it?
I was a journalist, and I liked to do what interested me, and what I wrote about, I did. And so I did some things that might have seemed odd to people, but they were interesting experiences and something to write about. And I really, really liked racing. I wrote about skiing. I wrote a book about skiing, indeed, and covered skiing for the New York Herald Tribune when it was in existence, and then also said I wanted to cover this new sport of sports car racing. And since I tended to do what I wrote about, then I started driving as well. Then I jumped out of an airplane with a parachute, of course, no fool I. But it was a fun thing to do, you know. I mean, what was this like? What experience? Who would want to jump out of an airplane when it has perfectly good, you know, it's going to land anyhow? So I got involved with that.
These are all sort of thrill-seeker kinds of sports, if you want to think about it that way.
Well, there are more, perhaps more intense experiences, or more obvious, maybe, less subtle variations on experiences. But I also I got involved with the inner self as well, with
like
mind
the Zen aspects of
well, like neuro-linguistic programming and so forth. And I was curious about consciousness and experience, interior as well as exterior.
Very interesting. We're talking to Denise McCluggage, and the Santa Fe Concorso is happening this weekend. Now, let's go back to the people who are going to show up. We have Sir Sterling Moss, and if this is correct, we also have Al Unser.
Yeah, Al Unser is coming up. He's got a museum of his race cars and things down in Albuquerque, and he's going to be a judge as well. So that'll be great, because it's a completely different sort of racing than what Sterling did, or I did, in a way. But there are similarities, and the racing drivers tend to respect each other's specialties and are interested in them, indeed. Oddly enough, Sir Sterling's father, Alfred Moss, who was a dentist, another sidebar, dentists are somehow more involved in racing and cars than anybody else. It's amazing.
That's
than any other specialty like that. And I had a dentist in San Francisco that had nothing but road and track and car and driver in his mind.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. I've got to ask. I've got to ask Sterling about that. But
they have time and money.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, Dr. Dickie Thompson, Tony Brooks, a very famous English driver, was a dentist. I mean, it's amazing.
Interesting.
But Sterling's dad actually raced at Indianapolis in the, when was it? Must have been the 20s sometime. I can't remember the date. But he did finish 14th. So he did something that his son never did. Sterling never raced at Indy, but he raced everywhere.
Now, what was your specialty, Denise McCluggage, in race car driving?
I drove any given car, emphasis on given. But I drove for Briggs Cunningham. I drove for the Porsche. I was supposed to drive it at Le Mans for Porsche and for Briggs and for Luigi Canetti, the NART team. But they wouldn't let women drive at Le Mans then. So that was, you know, it was unfortunate. I was deprived of a lot of things that I'd like to have done, but I kind of shrugged it off then with the idea that, well, maybe they're protecting me from myself. Who knows? You know?
Sexism, I mean, you were one of the women who really pioneered the next generation, who is able to do the things, some of the things you weren't allowed to do.
Well, it's to a degree that's true, but I had this kind of weird superstition that, you know, here I would be trying to get a race into a race. Can you imagine trying very hard, okay, doing everything to make them accept me and let me drive at Le Mans? And there I am going down the Mulsanne Straight, and the brakes fail. And I think, oh, my God, I didn't have to be here. So when things went against me, I thought, well, there'll be something else. So,
have you ever been in that situation where the brakes failed when you were in a race?
Yeah, well, I drove a Ferrari Berlin at Sebring. Drove a couple of Ferraris there, but I drove my own in 1961. And it's a 12-hour race in Florida. And at that time, the brakes didn't tend to last for 12 hours. So my last 2.5 hours were without brakes. It was amazing. Here I was at night with no brakes, and my times were faster than it had been in the daytime with everything. I thought, what do I know now that I didn't know then? How can I learn and apply them? But it was... You make do.
What do you do when you're driving and there's no brakes?
Well, you slow down earlier for the corners. You drive. You scrub off speed by getting a little sideways, perhaps. You gear down, and so that you are going around really slow corners without bothering to brake. But you have started slowing down enough, and you step down through the gears so that you can make the turn that way. It's amazing what you can do without things.
428-1393. We still have tickets available for the Santa Fe Concorso, which is happening this weekend. Now, Sunday is the big day, right? That's
Sunday,
the day we're giving away the tickets
Sunday
for.
Is the day of the show.
The
people come in on Friday night, and on Saturday, they're going to be driving up toward on the high road to Taos, I think, part of the way. So if people are along the highway and see a bunch of great old cars, that's what it is. It's part of the Concorso. And it's a way you can glimpse the cars the way they're meant to be seen, in motion, on a lovely road, with the beautiful scenery behind them. And it's a nice tradition. It started at Pebble Beach about 10, 15 years ago. They started having a tour, the cars driving, actually, because everybody was saying, oh, these are over-restored trailer queens. They just put on a trailer and hauled somewhere and then shown off, but this showed that these cars, whatever their age, were capable of driving on the hills around Monterey in California. And it's a chance for people to see them for nothing, for one thing, and also as they were meant to be seen. A Pebble Beach, it's $200 to get into Pebble Beach to
right.
see the car. So it's... $45 is a very small amount, really. But we have a smaller show, and from a lot of local people, too, as well as these. We've got a wonderful Delahaye coming from the Peter Mullen Museum, which is a new museum for primarily French cars, particularly the ones between the wars, which have incredible... I really, really love French coachwork. It's so imaginative and so swoopy and great and so very French.
And it sounds like French art.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's quite... It's amazing how the cars so represent the culture of the country they're from.
Well, it's almost time to go. We're talking to Denise McCluggage about the Santa Fe Concorso and about race car driving. I'm just going to let people know one more time. They can get tickets by calling 505-428-1393, 505-428-1393, and score a pair of tickets to the Concorso. It sounds like it's going to be really an amazing event. I guess there's a lot of car lovers in New Mexico. And New Mexico, I remember when I moved here 20 years ago, I was looking at everybody's cars and I saw all these, just driving around, all these old cars with no rust on them. And I thought, what a great place to have a car.
Yeah.
And to buy an old car.
Oh, yeah. And pickup trucks particularly. There's some glorious pickups. And
before we go, we only have really a minute and a half left.
Okay.
But if you can say it quickly, What are the qualities that it takes to be a good race car driver?
It varies really, but generally a sense of balance, and which means a good inner ear when it comes down to that.
Yeah.
And it's really more in the wanting to do it.
Right.
Because the appreciation of it and the feeling for it. And it is a remarkable sensation to go really fast legally.
Denise McCluggage is a former race car driver, journalist, author, photographer, and really pioneer for women in this industry. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
And we'll see you at the Santa Fe Concorso this Sunday.
Yes, you get there by going to Buffalo Thunder.
And you can also look at santafeconcorso.com. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org and podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. We're at facebook.com/radiocafe. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. And once again, the number for the fund drive and for these tickets to the Concorso is 505-428-1393. Thank you so much, everybody, for supporting KSFR and for listening to KSFR. And we'll see you tomorrow. Hasta la vista. Ciao.